It's a real pleasure for me to be here this morning. I'm only really 12 years old right now, but but it is it's great, and I'm really bringing you greetings from Haiti, and also our thanks to the teams that have introduced us to Trinity Baptist Church, and great thanks to Dana and her teams, and it's been wonderful to have them come to Haiti. And I'm sure that you've heard a lot of Haiti, but I'm coming to you this morning just to share really what the Lord has done. But I tell everyone, when I do share what God is doing, it is for my blessing and your blessing, because I'm only a humble servant that is walking in obedience to what the Lord has given me to do. So I am as blind as I can be, but He's given me this vision to just keep growing in Him and just in faith and watch what He does. So 35 years ago, yes, He called me then because I understood. But He really has put an anointing on me from the time I was little to love children, to love people. And I think that is something basic when we really love God, that we just learn, we just automatically love people. And my special love for children started from the time I was about 8 years old, and I would always be bringing children to my house. My parents were, you know, we grew up very, very poor people. My dad was a minister for a Baptist church, and my mother a seamstress. So I kind of grew up in this little village with knowing everybody, waiting for children to be born that I would take care of on the streets, and learning how to sew and sewing for them. I didn't know all of this was going to really contribute to the growth and to really a deep, very deep relationship with the Lord. So calling myself a missionary, it is a missionary because He prepares me. He prepares me, and I think He prepares every one of us. But I really look back a lot on my life, and I thank God every day for what He's done. So growing up and knowing that I don't know where I was going to do, what was going to happen to me, but living in a loving family, loving Christian family, where my father is the man that would put us on the table. We were 12 in the family. One died, so 11 of us he's raising on about $60 a month. And he used to sit us at the table in the morning when we're going to school, and we pray for the food. But the table is set, but there is no food. He prays for the food, and we go to school. But I don't ever remember going to bed without eating. So this is the first step of faith that I knew that my parents taught us, that we have to trust God. And as I grew up, doors opened for all of us, that all 11 of us today have college education, college, university, doctor's education. And this is all through faith and trusting the Lord. And I've learned to do just that, because I don't remember going and said, please, Lord, make me this and make me that. He is the chooser, and I am walking in it, and I just kind of love that because He never fails. So as I grew up, I became a nurse through, again, His faithfulness, walking me through to the right person who was, you know, this American lady who brought me to the States. And I wanted to be something I didn't even know, but the Lord put in me, you love people, you love kids. Learn something so that when you go back to Haiti, you can be of service. And nursing came to me, where I knew I thought I was afraid of blood, and I didn't know whether I could ever do anything. But I became one, a nurse that I'm using today, and I don't know how He did that. But when I returned home after I was in the States for a while, I went into cultural shock. Even though I was in Haiti for so long, living my life, so poverty was the way of life. But after living here, and you go back to a poor country, your eyes just like, wow, what is this? And that's when my relationship with the Lord was really going to broaden in a way that I would never expect. Because when I saw all of these, and I said, I would love to take all these children to my house. I didn't have any money. I didn't make any effort. Then I got a call from my pastor one day who said, Gladys, we have an a lady from the States. She's running an orphanage, but the orphanage is really so badly. The children are so sick and the situation is really bad there. Would you be willing to go help? He knew of my love for children because I was already involved with his wife in an organization called the Christian Women in Action. So I was very involved with that, and he said, you might be able to help. Well, when this woman said, no, I don't want any help, and I was very saddened by, you know, when I look at the kids and the state they were in. And at that point, I had my two children, and I really could not imagine anybody doing wrong to children. So this woman, and it's all God's doing. It's everything, every step of the way. God is just making the ways. Because my little desire was, I'd love to have an orphanage. He said, I'm going to give you one. So when I got a call one day, and we learned that this woman abandoned all of the children at the orphanage. And we didn't know what to do. At that point, I knew I could not help 45 children. I didn't have the means. And we created a small committee so that we could help the children. At the same time, we need to look for a director for that orphanage that's now the children are on their own. So I was very busy looking for a director for that orphanage, along with a few other friends. Until the day I got a call one day, and this man called me, and he said, Gladys, he was on the committee. I found the director. I was so happy. And I said, wow, great. Who did you find? He goes, you? So, no, I started arguing with him on the phone. I was like, no way, I can't do this. I had two children, I mean, one 2 years old, an 18-month old, and I just adopted a 4-month old, and you tell me to take care of 45 sick-looking kids? No way. I argued and argued and argued. But the phone call came. My husband had picked up the phone first. So he's downstairs, I'm upstairs. And I didn't know he was listening to the conversation. All I heard was his voice to say, but Gladys, you've been wanting to do this all your life. And I remembered I did ask the Lord for an orphanage. At that point, I said, Lord, I asked you for an orphanage, but not that one. But at the same time, I find myself in the position of Moses when God was saying, I want to send you to save the children of Israel. And he argued with God, can't talk, I can't. And God saying, I'm going to send Aaron with you. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And this okay opened up the way for me to really see, for as little as I can see, to that little eye, but see how great my God is. Because this was an orphanage that had nothing. It was just the building and the children. But there's something about when you're talking about human beings, nobody can clone that. Nobody can make that but the God Almighty. And to find out that other people are taking these lives and wasting them away. And I felt like we need to honor the life. And that's how I took these children under my wings, not knowing exactly what I was going to do with them. But I started really understand what trusting God, surrender totally everything to Him. I started to understand what it is all about. Because He really had put this anointing on me so that I would get to this point and really grow to know Him better. Because I'm just on my way up. I'm on my road up. But as I travel, I see better of where I'm going, get more excited and knowing exactly how God is. Because this orphanage that was once where you wouldn't want to put your dog has turned into a beautiful home for children. It was built by a group from Colorado, Young Life Churches. They had built this beautiful home that had just was down to nothing, to this lady that never took care of them. She beats the kids, she made them fast, she sells the food that she receives for them. So these are the children that were pulling their hair out when I met them. They wouldn't let me even touch them. By the time I got to hugging a child, it was so hard, and I was angry. I was very angry. But at the same time, I really knew that God was going to do something. So this was in 1981, 1982, and I started, God has started putting things onto me that, no, I am not timid. I can talk to people. I can go anywhere because everybody is just like me. We are all together the same. We just have different roles in life. However, if you have something that I need to go to you in respect and love and say, would you mind sharing? And I started doing that, like not afraid of any place. And I have, everywhere I would go, doors would open. And the first place I went for food for the children, it's called Catholic Relief Services, and it's a big organization in Haiti, and they give food. So I went there, I needed food for the children. Then the director looked at me and said, well, I heard the story, but we don't provide food for orphanages. I said, well, you're going to provide today. You're going to start today. And he did that for 30 years. This is glory to God. Glory to God. And as I continue on, there was always somebody to really feel this, because there's the empowerment that I felt from within, that it's never me. And to this point, I stand before you. It's not me. It's the Lord and the Holy Spirit working. And it's just, I'm listening to myself, as I said, and I'm being blessed and praising God and glorify Him for what He's done. But as this orphanage gets better, it started with one big miracle that I will never forget. And I always share with people to say how God does things. And it, you know, you go back and look at yourself and say, well, yes, we want to do something, but how? My goal has always been to do it to the fullest, to do it to the best, because I'm serving a perfect God, a great God, a rich God. So it's not because it's Haiti, I'm going to make sure that it's this big. I want to see it as big as it can be because of my great God. So my eyes are always pretty big. And when we wanted to clean up the orphanage, we did the best we could, but we were missing just about everything, from light bulb to spoons. So meaning that the children barely had any, you know, clothes to wear. I would make them clothes from sheets, from our kids' clothes, from my clothes, my husband's clothes. We just made clothes because I knew how to sew. That's one of the great blessings that I had. And I also was a nurse, so I was able to take care of them the best I could. But one time we were visited by a group, a team. That's how churches were sending teams to Haiti, and this team visited us at the orphanage. And there was the team leader asked me, do you need anything? And at that point, we didn't have anything. Now, if somebody walks into this room, you'll see people, you'll see everything. But if you walk, you see nothing. And we need, of course. And I said, I was angry in a way. I was like, you know, are you stupid or something? I mean, we don't have anything. We don't have light bulbs. We don't have spoons. You're asking me if I need anything? These kids, they need that. You know, they're not little animals, you know. They do the same thing you do. Well, this guy, he wasn't offended, really. Neither was I. But the truth came out somehow. And he went back to Texas. And it was that same week that the little inch foam mattresses the kids were sleeping on that were infested with bed bugs, I started burning them because I said, there's no way that I would want anybody to sleep that way. But at the same time, I wasn't ready to give up what I have grown to have, because now, you know, I grew up, of course I slept on mats when I was little, but at that point in my life, my kids had beds, I had beautiful beds, I had a big, big house, you know. And I was arguing with the Lord. I said, I'm not about to give up what I have. You gave to me, you're going to give to them too. And I'm expecting that. So we don't have beds. And I'm praying that these kids need beds. The day we burned the mattresses, that same man called me and said, Gladys, I've been back to Fort Worth and talking to our Sunday school class, people want to help because we told them what we saw. See, he wasn't that dumb after all. And so He said, do you need, what do you need? I said, now today I do have a need because I just burned the little inch foam mattresses that the kids had. He said, oh, we can help you get mattresses. I said, no, I don't want mattresses today because what I need to fix the building because that's where the crack in the cracks, that's where the bed bugs lay, and then fix the bathrooms, and all the beds are broken, so I need to fix the beds. Then when I finish doing that, then I will need mattresses. So he said, we can help you do all of that. Praise God. And it started like that. From as we go on, every time there is a hardship, from a hardship in the whole organization, we have had the supporters, our board, you know, people that really love the kids, love Haiti, came along with me and said, we are going to help you. We will be right there with you. Sponsorship started, things started rolling. And then, you know, I'm starting to see the light. But every one of them is at a time when I just go and talk to the Lord and said, Lord, what's going to happen? He just opens the door. There are times that I remember one day I just sat on the porch, the kids sitting there. I don't have any money. This man came and said, you know something? Last week I received $300 for you. I just forgot to give it to you. But I needed that that morning, that's when I needed it. That's when he came. So the Lord just has a way of just doing those things. So I continue working and trusting, loving the children. One day I got up, like the Lord says, yeah, we have to open, start a school with the children. They were not learning in the little schools that they were in. It just so happened, I know how to read. I can do math. So I took all the kids. I said, we're starting a school with you today. So it's me and two other employees. We were the three of us. We started a school. And soon after that, the neighborhood kids, the families came, could you take our kids as well? Could you take our kids as well? I didn't ask them to come. They came. I always see everything coming as of the Lord. So I said, okay, start sending the children to school. More kids come to school. And before I knew it, we had a full elementary school. In this elementary school, today, we are, started with 90 kids, 100 kids, 200 children coming. We are feeding children now. We can feed the neighborhood kids. And if I stay into education, to make this story short, this little school, now we have two other schools, elementary schools, and one is not even in Port-au-Prince. It's gone out of Port-au-Prince. Now we do have three elementary schools. But as the orphanage also get better, my children's pediatrician said, I started having extra things that I wanted to give to the hospital. And my pediatrician said, you can give them to us at the general hospital. There is a general hospital, huge hospital that is so ill-run, you don't want to go there. The smell is so bad, kids dying, and you might go and find one dead child, one live child in the same crib. So she invited me to go. When I got there, again, this question of life that God created, and when I found how bad that was, the Lord spoke to my heart, you can't walk out of here without doing something. And I froze when I saw all this situation, children that were abandoned. And I asked her if I could take them. She said, yes, you can take them all. I didn't have enough room to take them all, but I found a little house quickly, and I was able to move quite a few abandoned children into a home. And it's all you're going to see. The Lord is preparing me for bigger things and bigger things. Just go by obedience. This is the life God has created. If you have the means to take care of it, please, take this child. I will take care of the rest. Before I took out 6 children, the little house, we have 14, then we have 21, then we had 30. More children were coming in. And at the same time, then I meet this man who said, wow, this house is so small. Why don't you let me help you buy a house? It's like, why would you want to help me buy a house? But it's all it was in God's will. He had the money, but I wasn't looking at his money. I was just like not trusting him. But when, as soon as he said that, there was a house for sale. The house came up for sale. It's like, okay, And it's, you know, you can see how the Lord works. So I called this man. I said, did you say you wanted to buy me a house for the children? Yes, I did. Okay. So he came and looked at it. And he said, all right, for $25,000, can you finish this? I said, oh yes. I don't have a penny. Can you finish the house? I will finish it, promise. He bought this house for me, for the children, for $25,000. In less than 6 months, the house was finished. Well, over 60 kids could come into this new home. And I'm walking, I'm watching the Lord. I'm just watching the Lord. This is such a beautiful journey. I just, you know, to really trust the Lord and see how He's using you. I am walking through, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm not afraid. So the children were being adopted. I didn't know about adoption. But somebody came to me, explained to me what adoption was, started doing it, and watching the children's lives transformed through adoption. Children that would have died were adopted. So many children I had to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation that I can look at today and say, wow, look at these kids. They would have died. And I feel like, thank you, Lord, for just putting this anointing on me so that I can serve you through the life of these children. And so adoption came, of course, not without problems. In 1 week, there was an epidemic of measles in Haiti. And in 1 week, I lost about 7 children to measles. But I needed to learn that in Haiti, there had to have been a change in the thought pattern of how you do business. The hospitals are mostly business. You don't go in, well, if you're sick, if you cannot pay, they will not take you in. And that's how I lost 7 children. I needed to know that so that we can value life even more. So as soon as we finished burying kids, I said, you know what? We're going to build a hospital. Of course, my surroundings, my boards, they all think I'm crazy. I said, we're going to build a hospital because we don't want to really have bargain life. You know, there is no bargain on life. We have to do the best we can to save a life, not to say if you don't have the money. And I didn't have any money. I didn't have any way. But that same house is going to grow into the first children's hospital. It's not without troubles, you know, watching the ways I had to go. But I walked through steps to build the hospital. The hospital was built during an embargo that was imposed upon Haiti in 1991. In 1991, we started building the hospital. An embargo came 2 months after we started building. And to really get anything into Haiti, you needed to have this permit from the State Department. I needed to find someone in the State Department. Here I am, this little Haitian lady. I don't know anybody. But he opened the ways that I climb all the way, all the steps to the State Department to get this permit that I needed for the hospital. And we opened the hospital before the embargo was even lifted. It's all glory to God. Because it's just today, we have one of the best general care hospital. So medical center, that's I would call it. One of the best in the country. And I'm looking at it, if somebody asks me a question, I will answer you. But I am not down with like, Lord, you've given me this big task. How am I going to handle that? Not walking away from it. But now that we started with the orphanage has become a hospital. We have to build another orphanage for the children because the children are still there. And so another piece of land came. We started building a children's village. And people are coming in. It's not people that I knew, but he has sent so many people to come to just encourage us. And it's not me. It's not Gladys. It's just a whole bunch of people. Everybody becomes family. Actually, even as I hire people, I always tell them that you come in to be part of a family. Everybody is a co-owner. And we all kind of think the same way as Christians, that we are on this earth. We are on a we are traveling, and what do we do while, you know, how do we obey God's call to what we have to do? And I have really been going, walking in His footsteps. When I find the problems, I usually will put it in front of Him and said, I can't wait to see what you're going to do with this problem now. And I just came, I just sit and watch the Lord open the gates. And I am so grateful for what He's done. And as you know, in 2010, when we have the big earthquake, this earthquake came to Haiti, and it felt as a Haitian, it makes you feel like this is the end. Nothing, because you are already low, and then you're going lower. How will you ever come back up? And I really had a lot of time crying to the Lord, saying, I don't know how we're ever going to come out of this. Not anything with the foundation for the children of Haiti as much as for the whole country. Because it was scary, because I see my work is going to just kind of keep increasing. You know, when am I ever going to retire? It's because this is getting bigger. But to this hospital, we treated over 10,000 patients. It was one of the hospitals that did not have major problems, so there was some repairs to be done, and with people coming in, friends that the Lord would send, we were the first hospital to stand back up. Earthquake came in January. In November, we reopened a brand new hospital. And today, we have so many people coming through. There is one team that comes from Dallas to do medical care, and we looked at this past weekend, 39 free surgeries done for children. 39 children received major medical surgeries in that hospital. And we just thank God for what He has done. Now, during that time, during the earthquake time, I watched in very sadly so many young people that have died. They had to leave their countryside homes to come to the city to school. Look how, you know, you guys are very blessed here to have the university here. But these young people have to come from far away and travel to Port-au-Prince, live in very difficult situation to go to school. And I felt the Lord has given me these visions. And that's, I go from one vision to the next. My dear friend Rebecca is trying to tell me to stop, but I tell him it's like a train that doesn't have brakes. I just keep entering these visions. And I'm looking at these kids, and I felt the Lord telling me, we need to have a university, a technical school, a great school, a college. I'm looking at all this more into education, because these young people are thirsty for good education. That's one of the very low-key things in Haiti. The governments don't put a lot of importance really onto education, as much as they should anyway. And I am not, here I am a nurse, I am not an educator, I don't know how to teach, I don't know anything, except know how to read. And so He's putting these big things in my head. And I was like, okay, I can write what I feel like He's telling me. So I started writing what I felt the Lord was telling me. And because long time ago He had sent me to this beautiful little village, and then at some point He had my daughter even mention, this little village would make a nice little college town. And I was like, that would be a nice place to really kind of get the young people to come to instead of going to town, but have a nice campus. Now, as I was telling you, my God is big. He is powerful. He is faithful. So whatever we're thinking, whatever He's put in front of us, He's not measuring it in the little size of what we look like. He's measuring it big. And this came to me that this area is called, it starts with an M, it's called Missouri. And so I was like, wow, we could do, it's Missouri Institute of Technology. It's the same abbreviation as MIT. So, I think I'm going for an MIT. And right away, actually, we were having a board meeting. We had somebody there from Boston, and she said, yeah, I'm going to look into it. I said, actually, I want to meet the the president of MIT in Boston. She's still working on it, but that's okay. So, but this is how big that I see my God, that he will go beyond any MITs that could be, if this is, if he wants to, and if we just obey, walk in it. So my brother, who is a grant writer, he started helping me write this project. So for 5 years, practically, I share this project with everyone. And it's like, this is going to be the MIT of Haiti. And lots of people know about it. Last year, I got a call from an organization that we have partnered with. And they said, what about your project for the MIT? I said, oh, it's still here. It's alive. I'm just waiting on the Lord. And he said, oh, just found somebody who really, we found a donor who would love to really invest in a higher education school. Would you be willing to have this kind of a seed money to start? So, you know, in my mind, I have planned it for 30 years. 30 years to have a good elementary school, which we already had. We started that elementary school in that village with 25 children. Today we have 255 children in that school. And in the project also, there was plan to build a high school. Between 2010 and 2013, the government came in and built one of the biggest high school in that area, meaning that I don't have to do it. And he did it right on time when our elementary school children they reached the level of graduation. They needed the high school. Just that exact year, all the kids got into high school this year. And then here is this person coming and said, would you be willing to start with the seed money to start the technical school? So it's called CTEC, the Christian Technical School. And I was like, yes. But I will just go back quickly to tell you how this CTEC is happening. Because how do I know that the Lord really had given me this vision? I went up the mountains, and I said, well, maybe I could buy a piece of property, buy a small piece of property to build a school. And I looked at properties. I don't have a penny, but I'm buying a big piece of property. I'm looking at these properties that I don't even know how much I would have to pay for. Before I even reached my house, I was speaking to a man of the area, and I was sharing the vision with him. And I said, now I need to buy property. He said, oh, I don't think you need to really buy property, because over 50% of the land up this mountain belongs to the state. We need to talk to the mayor. This is a Sunday afternoon. By Monday morning, he talked to the mayor. The mayor wanted to see me on a Wednesday. By the time I met with the mayor, we had 13 acres of land, given free. And when you see things like that, you know this can be me. It's only the Lord can do this kind of thing. So today we do have this CTEC, you know, being built. It's going to be a long way, but it's not my problem. It's the Lord's problem. And he will see to it. But, just to see how great, you know, our Father is that he does provide. He has given me this ability to, you know, lead that I didn't know that I had. To be a nurse that, in Haiti, you become super nurses, because there are things that you have to do that doctors here would not even think of doing, but you have to do if you have to save a life. But I had gone through all of the experiences to be able to today, starting with two employees. You know, we have 192 employees in the foundation. Everyone, we look for them with the same heart. Not that we can give any big salaries, you know, it's small salaries. You probably would think, how can they live on it? I myself would ask that. But everyone that are working in the hospitals, in the orphanages, caring for the children, and education, we just feel that these are people that the Lord has sent to come and honor him in obedience. And so we are a great group of people really that he has multiplied to come and do something good in Haiti. The great thing is that, you know, a lot of the time you find a lot of the big foundations or big organizations, they are all run by foreigners. So, but when they find out that there's a group of Haitians that do care, we do care about our own, we care about the kids, we want them to be different, we want them to have an opportunity. So now that we always do the orphanages, we will always have children in need. There are so much need in Haiti. There is so much need in Haiti, and for the ones that have traveled and see the difference of what it is compared to here or any other developed countries, that the poor will always be with us. The work will always have to go on. And my hope is that the Lord will raise people to understand that we really are all one big family belonging to the same God, to this earth that He's given us to manage, and that we all have our part. And when I share, I usually always ask people to see where do you feel like the Lord really has given you? What part do you feel like He's given you to play in this earth? Because this is not forever. This is very temporary. And we are getting closer and closer. And so what we want to invest is really more of God in our lives, more knowledge of Him and a close relationship. So my faith has grown so much in just having been so obedient to the Lord. And all I say is, like, if you really want to serve the Lord, you have to be obedient. And if you are obedient and you opened up, then He fills you with things that you never believed you could do. Looking back at all over, or for all the things He's done to lead me to where I am today, and I just thank Him for using me. And I'm listening again to myself, and I say, I'd like to continue. I know that I have not done anything by myself. I've done everything through the Lord and through people that He has sent to me. And I pray that everyone that I ever share, you know, mission work or the work of the foundation, will pick up the mission, this mission, as a family member, as somebody, these children become yours. And then you can also invest in them, because there's a long way that we have to go. And I don't know how Haiti is going to turn out, you know, in Christianity. But we want to share the gospel. We want to be an example. And I want to be one of God's ambassadors, which I have been, and I want to continue to be. So I pray that you will continue praying for us, supporting the work. Because it does take money. It's unfortunate that money does everything. You know, when you really need to do something, you just have to kind of find the money. I need to walk. I do walk forward, and the money comes. And I will keep doing that. So this is my trust, that as, you know, the groups come, you know, sharing, loving the children, having, you know, if you feel compelled to just kind of come to Haiti, please do come with the team, even though I think it's almost full. But if you would like to come, because I like to invite people, I always tell people, you know, the best thing to do is to come see. It's not, I can talk to you from, you know, for all day, but it's great to come see and see what we are really doing. But just, and our motto is making a difference one child at a time. And in that child, just know that God resides in him. And we want to serve God through this child. So it's one child at a time. But it has been multiplied by several hundreds of children that have gone through. And I thank God for using me. I thank you for having me here. And I pray that God will bless you. And I look forward to seeing the team next year. Thank you very, very much for having me.
Well, let's pray. Let's just pray for Gladys now, all right? Father, we just want to tell you we love you. We thank you for the work you're doing through Gladys. We thank you for her wonderful testimony, and that we would be encouraged to do like she has done, just to trust you and obey you. And that is how we can be happy in you, by following you, just trusting you and obeying you and letting you do what only you can do. Again, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you today. And we pray for her work and our part that will be, or the part we'll play in that in the days and years ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. You give her another hand,
thank
right?
Thank you.